Welcome to another episode of the Blue Crew, a New York Rangers podcast on the Believe Podcast Network. I'm your host, Johnny Lazarus, joined by my two idiot co-hosts, Cody Franco and Avery Zaretsky. And I don't want to say anything right off the bat because we do got to give a congratulations to our dear friend Avery. And Avery, I'll just let you tell the story. The floor is yours.
All right. Moving to Florida, Miami. I'm going to be a Florida boy now. It's the first time I'm 25 years old and lived in New Jersey my entire life. Now I'm going down to Miami with the Blue York boys, AJ and Alex Castiglia. Give them a shout out. I'm really excited to hang out.
Bro, you're living by yourself.
I am living by myself down there. I took a job with Better. They're a sports gambling company with co-founder Jake Paul. You probably know that guy. Mm-hmm. And I'm going back to video editing, back to that Barstool lifestyle. No more corporate.
Hell yeah, dude.
You were corporate for what, like a month?
No, longer
worst
than
month
that.
Of his life, bro. Yeah. We heard about it every day.
No. I like the job I was working at. The good people. It was just it just wasn't a good fit for me. I liked a little bit more, not laid back lifestyle, but less corporate.
Yeah. You'd say.
And we should also say it's the first time the three of us are like on the show together. I think in 2 months. Probably.
Yeah, me and Avery, it was a couple months, but we finally ended our feud. He stopped being a little bitch and, you know, Venmo'd me the money he owed me. So we're cool now.
Yeah, let's also just keep this PG, Cody. Let's start with that. But no, I actually thought
is
that
bitch not PG.
That's definitely not PG. Absolutely not. Okay. But no, it's good. It's good to be back with you, Cody. I really missed you. It was great. The episodes did a lot better when you weren't on, but it's fine.
I actually saw Cody yesterday. I stopped by. He was at tailgate in Brooklyn, like with his boys before a wedding. He was like wearing a tuxedo at an outdoor sports bar. It was the
Everybody was coming up to me. It was great. Johnny walked right up to me. He goes, "Damn, you look good as fuck."
I'm you like, did look good. You did look good.
Thanks, bro.
He said that to me too, though. Did we talk about the time that we ran into each other too?
I don't know if we talked about it on the show. No.
I was at an open bar and Johnny just walks in and he's like, "You look great." So I think he just says that to everybody.
Actually, like looking really good. You did look good too, Avery. But Cody was like in a tux.
That's crazy. That's just a crazy statement. But all right.
No, that you looked good. I believe that is a crazy statement because you just look like shit. All
no,
the time.
But he said you actually look good, and he didn't.
Before Cody goes on with the terrible trash talk, let's just cut him off now. So should we just dive into like just the topic of conversation around the Rangers, or like how do you guys want
to? Yeah, it's great. We actually have a lot of stuff to talk about now, which is nice.
Mm-hmm.
Do we?
I think for starters, we should talk about the game against the Islanders, the most recent preseason game. I caught a little bit of it this morning. I couldn't watch it last night. I'm sure Cody probably couldn't watch it either last night. But Avery, did you catch the game at all?
Yeah, like bits and pieces. I don't really buy too much into preseason. Obviously, it's a little bit more in terms of like the lower end guys trying to make the team. So I don't really I don't like to micromanage preseason, but I do like to see the guys back in the uniform, of course. I did watch a couple shifts. I thought Panarin looked good. I thought he was fine. Mm. Obviously people want to talk about the bad shifts and like I said, micromanage, but I really like Othman's game. I think if we're talking about the guys who are looking to make the team, Othman, Brodzinski, Will Cooley, they've all looked really good. And I think that they're all looking to make the extra step. My favorite guy so far in preseason by far is Gustafsson though. I think he's going to be six man for the defensive core. I think
I've been on the Gus hype train, the Gus bus for sure. I
like that.
What movie is that from, bro?
Huh?
What movie is that from? Were you old enough to watch it? Were you old enough to watch it? I'm asking.
You
no, Avery, say it, dude. Avery, say it, bro. Say the movie.
Well, I classify Gus bus as bench warmers.
Yeah, that's
that's my way. Yeah.
What else could it be?
I don't know. I was thinking Cody was thinking of some like super old movie because he's so old.
all 5 years.
So yeah, I think right now Gustafsson is probably, you know, beating out Zach Jones for that sixth
obviously
spot.
Yeah. He had 42 points last year. He never was not going to beat out Zach Jones. But Zach Jones is probably a lock for the seventh spot. And, you know, if a guy takes a step back like Schneider or someone, you never know. But
Schneider's actually, I think, looked kind of sloppy so far in preseason. I don't think he's been, you know, and again, like Avery said, preseason hockey, I think when you know you're making the team is a little bit different. But Schneider, you know, I'm sure he'll get his step back, you know, as the games go on. But I don't think he's looked great so far.
Yeah. So I actually have a question. So this might be a dumb question, but is there a reason Perreault wasn't invited to training camp?
He's not signed.
That's just the sole reason that he hasn't been signed.
You have to be signed by the Rangers to attend training camp.
Yeah, he's also for sure going to college.
So no, I know. I know. But, yeah, but I figured, but I figured like they could still extend him an invite, like if he was signed, I guess. So
not a dumb question, not a smart question.
No, it's going to be a two-year process with him. He will he'll be invited next year, and then he'll probably make the team the year after.
But I'm sure there's people that are listening that don't know that. So
yeah,
kind of a good question.
Yeah, good question. are you more hyped about Perreault or Othman?
I think we talked about this on a recent episode. I think we were asked this question, and I said Othman because just Othman is more of like a right now. You know, Perreault, obviously, like Avery just said a minute ago, is, you know, more 2 years down the road. And, you know, I think Othman is just more of the like Ranger type of blue collar player that the fans are going to love. Perreault is a stud, don't get me wrong. And he's got a ton of skill, a ton of talent. He'll be a different kind of, you know, like star studded Ranger that I think people criticize a little bit more than Othman, because Othman has the work ethic. I'm not saying Perreault doesn't work hard, but it's so easy to love a guy like Othman because I think
you just said, you know, Perreault's going to suck.
No, damn, shut the fuck up. But you know what I mean? It's just very easy to love a guy like Othman who brings that like Ryan Callahan like type of work ethic, right? Like, I think that's just Othman's effort will be shown every night.
So let me ask you this then. If the Rangers somehow find cap space going into the deadline and they have the ability to make a, you know, some form of a game changing move that could put them over the top, and the other team demands one of Othman or Perreault, who are you going with if you have to do it?
That's a good question.
I would say, to do it to win. If hypothetical, but if it guarantees you a cup,
it doesn't really matter if they win a cup, right? Like,
okay, it guarantees you a trip to the finals, and then it's TBD.
I think it would really depend on where Othman is at that point. Like, if he's producing a lot, you'd probably get rid of Perreault. But if he's not, then you might think about getting rid of Othman and then just waiting for Perreault. But I mean, if it guarantees you a cup, like Johnny said, it doesn't really matter that much.
Yeah.
But I love Othman's game. Like Johnny said, I think Ryan Callahan's a really good comparison for him. And listen, he could end up being a second line guy, maybe even a first line guy down the road. He has that scoring ability. He has that edge. I really like him a lot.
I tweeted it yesterday or like 2 days ago. I don't think Othman will make the team out of camp, but I guarantee that he'll finish the year on the team.
I mean, that's a given. That's a given.
No, because I think he's making a pretty strong case to make the team out of camp.
I don't think he's gonna make the team. Dude, there's the only way he's making the team out of camp, like I said, is if they guarantee him a top nine spot. They're not gonna throw him on the fourth line, and you know, they do have a fucking top nine spot open. I mean, technically, right? Like VC's probably that third line guy right now who you don't really want on the third line, but at the same time, they're not going to waste a year of eligibility on this kid if he's not going to be like bona fide star at the beginning. What are you giggling at?
Eligibility. It's not college.
I mean,
it was just cute. It was cute.
Oh, okay. Thanks.
Yeah. Very cute, Cody.
Thank you.
Okay. So now let's go into a topic of conversation that I actually want to ask Cody specifically. It seems like Alexi Lafreniere is getting somewhat of a Zach Wilson kind of treatment. And I don't think it's fair. Then again, I don't pay as close attention to the Jets and Zach Wilson, so I don't really know if the hate on him is warranted. But, you know, from what you're seeing around Lafreniere, and there was a lot of criticizing him last night about the first goal against, because, you know, he didn't back check his hardest after like a minute plus shift.
Yeah.
So what are your thoughts?
Him out too.
Yeah, I think Laviolette, too. We can get into that after. Laviolette's been fucking amazing so far. But before we get into that, let's talk about the Lafreniere criticism. Like, what have you seen, Cody?
So, admittingly, I've only watched two of their games so far. I mean, the other two, yesterday was game four, right? That was the fourth game? Yeah. So, I watched the Devils game, and then I watched the, you know, opening game. But I think, first and foremost, it's not even comparable. You know, it would be different if you were comparing, like, Laff and Trevor Lawrence, who was a number one overall pick, like Wilson was number two. He just sucks. quite frankly, he's just trash.
Dude, the Joe Namath comments about Zach Wilson were insane.
Yeah, yeah.
Can you imagine Messier saying that about Alexi Lafreniere?
Yeah, but you know, this might be a hot take for Jet fans, and I'm a big Jet fan, but like Joe Namath wasn't like one of the best quarterbacks of all time. Like he wasn't. He won them a Super Bowl. His stats like were fine. I mean,
Cody's
he wasn't like a Brady. Like, dude, he, don't get me wrong, he's an all timer for sure, but he wasn't like, you know, a top 5, top 7 guy. But everybody misconstrues that because, you know, obviously he won the Jets that Super Bowl in 1969 and had an unreal season and, you know, whatever. But like his whole career, like he wasn't this unbelievable, unstoppable guy like a Mark Messier or Wayne Gretzky. But those comments, I mean, he is the most famous Jet ever. Yeah. So to hear that as a quarterback in the same position as him, it obviously can't make you feel that good. It is warranted. I mean, Zach Wilson fucking sucks. He can't throw the ball. he doesn't throw the ball further than 20 yards. He's playing scared. I think the similarity in the two is what I just said. I think Love plays scared. I think there's a lot of times he plays scared. He just needs to finish his checks more. He needs to be more aggressive. He needs to, like, dude, when he was playing in Canada, I mean, dude, he had like 60 goals like before he was drafted or something crazy. And he needs to like get out of his own head. I think, you know, the pressure of Broadway is probably on him a little bit, but like it shouldn't be that much pressure because he's surrounded with other superstars. And I think he just needs to like get out of his own head. You know, I still think he's very talented and I still have confidence in him. You know, obviously if we're 70 games into the season and the guy's at 35 points, then that's a totally different story. But I mean, dude, Zach Wilson's not even a starting QB. Like he's like probably a backup on like half of the leagues. Like he's just trash. I mean, he's trash.
The thing about the Q is that it doesn't really translate to the NHL as much as these other Canadian leagues. Obviously Crosby is a major outlier from that, yeah. But a lot of guys that come out of the Q just aren't as good as the guys who come out of like other major junior programs.
Yeah. But you see the flashes with Love.
For sure.
Right? Like you see the flashes and you're like, holy shit, how did he do that? But then the next 10 games, you won't see that again. And you're like, oh my God, it's like a recurring theme here. And again, like I think the biggest thing for him from my point of view is like he plays scared and it's very obvious. Like there's 5 or 6 games, you just see him like invisible, but then you can see him like, you know, a year and a half ago in the playoffs, 2 seasons ago, and he was fucking dominant and he was bodying people. He was bullying the Penguin. Like, you know, so it's really dependent. I don't know like if his issues are in his head. Like, I don't really know what's going on there. Obviously he hasn't been too great this preseason, but like Avery said, it's preseason. It's very irrelevant. Like, give it 20 games. You know, if the first 20 games, if he has like 3 points, okay, then we can talk. But
yeah, he has until March. I will give him until March. Then you got to seriously consider.
I won't give him until March. I'll give him until like January because it's like, because dude, if he's playing half the season, like, how would you feel going into the All-Star break and the guy has like 12 points? Like, you're not going to feel good about that.
Well, I want to give him every chance he has to succeed, right? So you give him until March, and if he's not good enough, then you trade and then you look to add that top 6 asset like the Rangers have done in the past. But
it's on the Rangers too. They have to play him in the top 6. Like they can't push him to the third line or fourth line. Like, and I know exactly what you're going to say, Johnny, and I know like the way it's going to stack up is he's going to be that third line left wing, and it's just
no.
Oh, okay, because I just think I don't know. I just think that's the wrong move because like they've tried it for 3 years and it hasn't worked. So like, yeah, I know you want to play him on his natural position and stuff, but like I think at his age and like his skill, like put him with the most talent as opposed to his natural position. Like guys in every sport do it. And if you're an elite athlete, you should be able to play on the other side. And it's not that big of an adjustment in the NHL.
I was going to say, as of right now, he's been given all the opportunity by Laviolette. Like, totally. He's getting first line. He's getting first power play in preseason. So it's, you know, it's still preseason. It's, you know, you can't really judge fully on that because come opening night, let's see what he can do when the games really matter.
Right.
And I don't think anyone like, you know, Mika has, I mean, Mika played like one game, hasn't looked great. He was obviously day to day. Like in my mind, no one really has stood out, or at least the regulars have stood out in like such an incredible way in the preseason. And like, that's, you know, why preseason is what it is.
It's expected.
But to that said, or to that point, like the eyes are on Lafreniere. So if he's not fired up to play in the preseason, like, I mean, I'm hoping he can channel that in the regular season, but he should be fired up every time he's playing. And I don't think he's been as bad as the narrative is right now. He just hasn't been great. And I think for him, the expectation is to be great when he's given the opportunity. And that's why it's somewhat of a failure early on here in preseason, because he hasn't exceeded any expectation. He's just been a little bit mid.
Yeah, but there gets to be a point where that really starts to get to you mentally, and then you don't want to play for your team anymore. And I think if this trend continues throughout this season and he's just like, you know, he's on pace for, I don't know, 40, 45 points, like just a slight tick up from last year, like he's going to hear it from fans. He's going to hear it from, from people. And I think it's going to get to the point where like he's going to ask out. Like I really do. If he does not break out this season, and I'm talking about like 55 points or higher, there's a good chance he doesn't play for the Rangers next year, because I think he's going to, and I think it's going to be his choice, because I think it's really going to start to get to him. And he's at a point, like, you want to be happy playing the sport you love, and you want to, you know, you're playing a sport professionally. That's your career. Just like Avery, just, you know, he's going to better. Like, that's going to be his career. He wants to do something he loves. Like, you're trying to do something you love. Like, I do something I love. Like, dude, he wants to do something he loves. And when fans, especially in New York, which is a very unforgiving city, are getting on his case, like at some point it's going to break him and he's just going to be like, just get me out of here.
Well, I know for a fact he like sees what the media says. Like, he's talked about it at training camp. You know, I've been to practice a couple of days. I've been to the games, and I'll be, you know, I think I said it last episode, I'll be at every home game. So like, you know, I'm hearing what he's saying after games. Like, he's aware of the narrative. And, you know, I think something about New York fans, right, is when we get impatient, which is, you know, pretty often, we tend to drive players out of here. And I think we're seeing that right now with the Jets and Zach Wilson. Like, that's why I brought it up. Mm-hmm. And I would hate for that to be the case with Lafreniere, because I think the three of us can, you know, pretty much defend everything about Lafreniere because we love him as a player and a kid.
I have his jersey.
But no, it's you know, it's obviously sad and sucks to see. But even like on Twitter today, I saw the clip circling of, you know, the goal last night that Pageau scored, and Lafreniere, you know, dives on the back check instead of like fully hustling. But, you know, the narrative is that 7 seconds where he, you know, lacks the back check, not the full minute 13 shift of him, you know, winning a one-on-three battle, winning a one-on-one battle in the offensive zone, like moving his feet on the forecheck. Like, he did some good things on that shift. And then, you know, anyone that's played hockey knows what it's like to be caught on a long shift and you're back checking and you can't even fucking feel your legs. And at least he made the effort and dove. You know, I think I'm not going to defend that back check because, you know, obviously it was what it was. But it's not like he was like so fucking lazy where he didn't even try. And I think, you know, that's just something important to note, because, you know, I'm going to defend Lafreniere, obviously, until
that's your guy. Yeah.
I mean, listen, every guy in New York has a shorter fuse than if he plays in San Jose or wherever. At the end of the day, it's just it's the natural part of being a New York Ranger. That's just what you're going to get. But with Alexis Lafreniere, like, you look at Edmonton, right? They drafted Nail Yakupov. He was supposed to be the superstar. And at some point, they bit the bullet. And at some point, we have to bite the bullet too, but I'm not ready to do it yet. I don't think that all of this raw talent is wasted yet. I really think he has it. And I think that if you look at power play time from the last like 20 first overall picks, Alexis Lafreniere is like at the bottom of the list by like a significant margin. So they really haven't given him that like full chance to get the points. And I think in his career, he's like third or fourth in Rangers even strength goals, 5-on-5. He hasn't been terrible. He's not the guy that we drafted him to be right now, but he still can be. I'm not out on it yet.
Yeah. And I do just want to caveat real quick, right? Like, you did mention a comparison who he's been getting a lot is Nail from Edmonton, who was drafted, I think, in like, you know, 12 or 11 or something like that. But he was obviously, you know, the first overall pick. And I get there's similarities there, but they're also two very, very different players, right? Like Yakupov never surpassed ever. I think it was like 30, 33 points, something like that. And the guy had, I think his like plus minus on Edmonton was like a minus 70. All right. Like Lafreniere is, you know, he's I mean, like, his plus minus in 3 years is plus 5. I mean, he had 39 points last year. He is trending up like every year, right? He had 21, 31, 39. Like, he's trending up slightly, just not to New York fans' expectations for a first overall pick. But I think the skill level is a totally, totally different breed than what Yakupov was. And you know, I think I just think Lafreniere is there's a lot more upside there. And he just needs to find his game. I mean, that's it at this point. Like, you know, like Johnny said, we can keep defending him. But there comes to be a point where it's like, you see Kako and he's just dominant. even if he's not putting up the points, like you see what he's doing and how he's building his game. And like, this is the year that Love has to do it too. And if he doesn't, I mean, we really can't defend him anymore. And like I said, I really, really firmly believe like if he does not have a breakout season this year, like even if he finishes with like 48 points or something, I don't think he's going to be a Ranger next year. Cause I think there comes to be the point where he wants to play for us. And that's like slowly dwindling.
Cody's fucking on one today.
He is also recording a podcast, not on Do Not Disturb. Crazy, but we got that's fine.
I want to transition into Lobby.
Yo, I heard one of your phones ring before, and I know it was fucking Johnny.
It wasn't me.
Or it was Avery. It was Avery.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was. Don't you lie to me. Dude, I heard that ring.
Let me transition a little bit into Laviolette, because I think what we've seen from him so far, I mean, I personally am a big fan. And I think we talked about it last week with Emily Kaplan. Like, I wasn't when they made the hire at first, but we haven't seen a coach really come in here the last, you know, 4 or 5 years or so and call out the team like in the preseason, right? Like Laviolette basically said like last night was unacceptable, not good enough. And he's like, you know, saying basically things that are, you know, work ethic is not a system, right? Mm-hmm. Like he's going to call out these guys and it doesn't matter who they are.
It was not good at all. So there's just way too much missing in the first period, and mildly better in the second, but not good enough. And then in the third period, we decided to work and compete. And thought our execution was way off the mark. Couldn't make passes, couldn't get shots off, and just off the end of our stick and not executing well. But that's unacceptable. The first half of that game was just—it's not who we are or who we want to be. So.
And I think that's super important, especially for a team that's trying to win right now is, you know, Gallant obviously never really called out the players, at least, you know, maybe not more than 5 times in his 2 years. David Quinn, you know, it was a different kind of situation, right? They weren't really competing for a Stanley Cup. So it's not necessarily
it's torts era, bro.
Yeah. It was more of a process with Quinn, but Laviolette's not shy to say, or at least voiced his disgust. So it's going to be a different year as far as like watching the team, paying attention to the team, media coverage, because, you know, Laviolette's a fucking, he's a guy that there's no bullshit. So, I'm excited for that personally.
And the last thing I want to say, and then we can get off the loft topic is like,
off the loft topic.
No, because I just also wanted to say like, you know, we, like I said earlier, we have a bunch of superstars on our team and obviously Laviolette called everybody out yesterday. Like it's on them too, to, you know, it shouldn't just have to be on these kids. Like they're very, very important to us getting to the next level and winning the cup. But I do think we need to see our guys like, you know, Mika, Kreider, Zib. Well, Mika is Zib, dumb. But Panarin and, you know, all those guys, like we need them to go off, right? Like we need them to do their thing. We need them to score goals. We need them to, you know, get apples and all that stuff too. So I think it's really important just to caveat that as well. And you know, it's really going to be a whole team effort, and it can't just be on Igor. It's going to be the same shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was a lack of accountability with Gallant, I feel like, and just seeing it from Laviolette to start the season and preseason is really, it's good. We like to see that.
Should we go to some fan questions? We got a lot of stuff.
Yeah. It's rock and roll. Good.
All right. Well, first I want to give a shout out to Anthony. He sent us like a 20-minute clip of him talking about the Rangers and Devils. And I was DMing with him a little bit, and we tried it last year with Rocky, where like people sent what? Why are you guys laughing?
Cody literally just smiles, and it really just messes with my head, dude.
Well, we tried last year, like people sending in videos if they want to be like featured in the podcast. Like Rocky sent one last year with like a take, and then we can debate it. So Anthony, I told him it was a little bit too long, like a 20-minute thing is not coming in the podcast.
Well, that's why I was laughing, because normally Johnny's like, all right, and we're going to play it now. And I saw it was 20 minutes. So I knew.
I listened to it.
I want to shout him out.
It was solid. 100%.
It was solid. Solid break.
It's just a little too long to throw in here, but
yeah, baby.
We encourage anyone who wants to be like featured on the show. I mean, people always ask to come on the pod. So like, if you have something that you want to be heard, like send us a minute and a half clip. We'll throw it in here. We'll talk about it. I think that's just the best way to go about it. So shout out to Anthony, and I'll get into some questions now. We'll start with the ones from Twitter. First question from Twitter, Mike Grinnell: when will Avery jump in the Hudson?
Well, listen, I could jump in whatever water
in Miami
is in Miami. Yeah. But I'm gone, brother.
Dude, how about if the Rangers win the cup, you jump in the Hudson? How about that?
That's not the point. That's that.
Yeah.
I'll jump in with you.
I was actually planning on doing it. My issue is that I don't get paid by them. So
yeah, we talked about this.
And I know that we talked about this when Mike was on, but I don't get paid by them, and I know they're going to want to film it. So it's like,
yeah.
I agreed to that
under the
assumption that I was going to be working with them. But at the same time, I am a man of my word. Eventually, I'll do it. It's going to suck, but I'll do it. Eventually.
Who's Barstool Lurch?
Lurch?
Yeah, he just replied to my
foreplay.
Tweet. Oh, he just replied to my tweet.
Yeah, he's the man. I love Lurchy. Did he ask a question?
No, he said, I would just, like, it was about Lafreniere's shift. I would just say in that shift, it looked like there was multiple times he could have gotten off the ice, Bradman down the wing, and right after he throws the hard wrap down the boards, to name some obvious ones. It ain't summer league anymore when you take a 5-minute shift.
Lurchy's the man, but he's always got some rips for the Rangers.
Should I keep this in the show?
Yeah, sure.
All right, let's go to the next one from our boy Rocky. How many points do you guys think Trouba will get this season? Personally, I think he has a great season under Lav.
Yeah. I think we actually didn't do this one yet, right?
No, we haven't done Trouba.
Which is great. I love the graphics you've been doing, point graphics.
I'll have to get back to those.
I don't know how many points he had last year, but I think it'll go up.
Last year he had 30.
30?
That's it? Year before 39.
Yeah. It felt like a lot more. I actually thought he had a really good year last year.
You know.
Not points wise, just in general. I thought Trouba was a great defenseman last year. I thought he stepped it up from the previous year.
I had mixed feelings on it. I don't think he was as good defensively last year, which I guess means he wasn't as good last year because he's a defenseman. But no, I like Trouba as a player. I don't think he's the offensive guy anymore, though. I don't think he'll run second power play unit, so I don't think his production will go up. I think it'll actually go to like the 20-25 point range.
Really?
Well, he's not going to get power play time. I mean, it's not like he tore it up on the second unit, but like, you know, that definitely boosted his points a little bit. I think he had 7 points in the power play last year, or five power play points. So you take those away, 25 points.
Honestly, we don't need him to be this.
No.
Like with the emergence of Keandre Miller, I mean, I think Miller's going to have a crazy year. I think he's, you know, a superstar in the making if he just continues doing what he was doing. And you know, sometimes he gets lazy like a little bit, but I think if he just works that stuff out, obviously as he grows and matures as a player, I think that he's just going to be incredible. I love him. And, you know, I think like with Foxy and him, like we don't need, and Gustafson will get a bunch of points too. Yeah. So like, we don't need Trouba to do that. We need Trouba to rattle the other team and literally set the tone for games. That's it.
Yeah, I agree.
Foxy talks a lot about the comfort that he has playing with Lindgren. I would like to see Foxy and Miller play together this year and kind of give Trouba that same feeling of like comfort, so Trouba can kind of unlock his offensive side, because we know he has that shot. Like, we know he's a strong offensive player when he has that ability. I just think playing with a younger player like Keandre has kind of made him a little bit more defensive minded in terms of like staying back and letting Keandre do that.
Be
responsible. So I think I mean we've seen it in camp a little bit, but I know Foxy and Miller would be unbelievable together.
Well, they played together in the Devil preseason game and they looked good together, obviously, but I know I'm probably one of the few that's like strongly against it, but they need to spread it out. I think if you're going to have Lindgren and Trouba playing together.
Yeah. Why not? When we got Trouba, he was like an offensive minded defenseman.
That's 5 years ago already.
I know, but there's no reason why his ability is just on, like, it's just tapped. It's definitely not tapped.
No, but I think it's just Keandre and Foxy are so strong separately at, you know, breaking the puck out, making offensive plays, like truly creating. And I think when you have Lindgren and Trouba out there together, they're fine. Lindgren can break the puck out too, but it's just not as clean, not as crisp. It's more like high glassing out, where Foxy, like, you know, makes a pass that leads to a 2-on-1, or, you know, Miller just skates it out and starts an odd man rush.
It wouldn't hurt to try, is what I'm saying.
Well, I think Gustafson has that ability too.
10 games.
I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing Gustafson and Trouba together.
Yeah. Listen, my thing here is in the NHL as a grand scheme, the goal is just to make the playoffs. Doesn't matter how you do it. Doesn't matter if you're first in your division, if you're wild card, obviously home ice advantage helps a little bit, but I wouldn't hate seeing them try different things this year. I think we got a lot of the same lineup last year, And I would just like to see them mix it around a little bit.
Yeah.
Because I think it chemistry is such a huge part in hockey, right? We know this. Johnny, you and I played. It just, it wasn't meant to be a dig at Cody.
I just played street hockey.
Well, and Cody, you know from watching too. You know from watching too, chemistry is so big. Like you look at some of the best lines in hockey that have been playing with each other for so long. It's just one of those things where you play with each other long enough. It's basically telepathy. You know, like Foxy and Lindgren know where they're going to be on the ice. They know when they can take chances and when not. So it's just like maybe build some chemistry in some other different ways and see what happens. Mm-hmm.
Our next one is from Rich, RL310D. What are the chances the Rangers decide to not keep Quick? Two games total of four and a half periods of play, and he's given up 7 goals. Yes, D has been rough, but he has looked not Quick.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with that. He has not looked good by any means. I do think, you know, in his first start, the defense did leave him out to dry a little bit. They didn't play their best. But again, same thing, preseason, like don't read too much into it. These players were off for a while. They're probably all getting back in the swing of things, just like when we do, when we take a vacation. You know, and I mean, this guy's a seasoned pro, multiple cups, like he's going to be just fine. And I don't think anybody could have a worse start to their Ranger career than Halak. So there's that.
Yeah, that was pretty rough. I think he lost, his first 8 games?
8. 0-8. Yep.
Yeah. I don't see them moving Quick.
It makes no sense. I mean, it makes no sense. And they have good guys like in Hartford that can come up to, like, it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah. I think he'll be fine as well. The next one is from JT, Joe Tap 27. Are these rumors of Laf true? I don't really know what he's referring to.
I know what they are. It's that he's been like drinking all summer and not taking his game seriously and like, you know, playing softball and,
I did see a tweet, right? It was like
bullshit. Yeah, it's.
I talked to a reporter that was close to the team, and
it's bullshit. First of all, bullshit. Yeah. I mean, it's clickbait. Like this.
First of all, the reporters that are close to the team know nothing because the Rangers don't give out anything. So
yeah.
I wouldn't read too much into that. Yeah, sorry, Johnny, but you know that.
Yeah, I mean, especially
the hockey
reporter close to the team. Like, but yeah, I don't like hang out with Lafreniere all summer. I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. Like you're close. Yeah. You're close to the team, but close to the Rangers. They like getting anything out of them is impossible. So
also that's something that like unless you're around him all the time, how could you really?
Yeah.
Make that a story.
Not much slips through the cracks with the Rangers.
But also, like, of course, he's like a young kid who likes to party. Like, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But when it's time to play, like, show up and fucking play. You know,
that's it.
Work hard, play hard. So last one on Twitter from Joe Albanese. What's the ideal spot for Laf in this lineup, playing with Mika, Hedl, or Trocheck?
I think we all agree he should probably be on the second line. It's tough because you want Hedl to elevate his game as well, and you want Kako to elevate his game as well. You know, spreading the three of them out on three separate lines isn't the worst idea, but then one of them has to be on third line. And I think Hedl made a very good case to be the 2C. And, you know, he as a player just signed a nice deal for us. And, you know, he wants to elevate his game as well. So I lean towards like Tro, but at the same time, I feel like they're going to put Hedl as 2C. So then it's like kind of, you know, going against what I was saying earlier, where it's that would line him up for the third line, but I think he needs top line minutes to really elevate his game. So it's tough.
By the way, first time in a long time, I really feel good about our depth at center. Mm-hmm. Like it's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Agreed.
I would also say second line with Hedl as well. And Trocheck's been pretty vocal about it too, like in the locker room and stuff, you know, telling the media that he's, you know, comfortable playing third line, more responsible defensive minutes. You know, which is something we talked about, I feel like a couple weeks ago, if that was going to happen or not. And it seems like that is the case to what you were just saying, Cody. So I would say, yeah, second line, right wing, or even left wing.
Would it be crazy to make the line Kreids, Hedl, Laf?
No. What was the line last year? What was the third line last year that was awesome? It was like, oh, there's my phone going off again.
I knew it.
What was the crazy third line that was awesome last year? It was like Trocheck, Kreider, and VC. they had like
a really for a couple run. Games. Yeah, I think so.
I actually like that. Obviously, you're not going to see Kreider on the third line maybe until like later in the season, but
maybe.
Who knows?
I wouldn't say it's not possible.
Yeah, 100%. That's a guy you could throw anywhere and he'll be good. So
yeah,
I don't. That's another thing. I don't look at, and I actually agree with Gallant on this. I don't really look at lines as like numbers. I always just think like you just put guys wherever they fit best, mm-hmm. and they're all going to get like somewhat of the same playing time. Obviously, the first line maybe a little bit smidge more, mm-hmm. second line smidge more than the other. But if you look at time on ice last year, like there were times where third line guys got more ice time than second or first line guys.
Totally.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, let's go into the questions from Instagram. This one is like kind of a long one. It's from Pete Dempsey, who's like a pretty loyal question asker. He's got a couple for us. This first one's from me. What position did you play, and what is your favorite memory from your collegiate career? I played right wing, and my favorite memory was scoring at Minnesota against Minnesota.
Pulled away out of a crowd by Johnny Lazarus. 2-on-1 if they hurry. Lazarus shoots, and he scores! Johnny Lazarus took it all the way. The 2-on-1 threat that Sheerhart had to acknowledge. And UMass is on the board. It's 2-1.
No, I didn't ask this question myself, guys. That's what you're laughing about.
No, I'm laughing. Never mind. All right.
And then the second one, I know it's a few years in the future, but we're coming up on the centennial anniversary of the Rangers. Cody Avery and Johnny, what would you like to see the centennial jersey look like? If you were planning on buying one, would you want the typical jersey with the diagonal lettering or the throwback to the 70s where the logo was in the middle? That's a fucking great question.
Great question.
Great question.
Yep.
I love that 70s jersey, like the Rod Gobert ones with the Rangers crest in the middle and like that red sleeve kind of, right? It was like a blue and red sleeve.
Is that the one where it's like white and then – because I'll show you the one – my brother actually just sent me a picture of someone was like selling like an old one that was sick. I got to find it.
And that'll be the 25-26 season, just to clarify. Yep.
Yeah. You guys keep talking. I'm going to find this picture though.
So
I'm going to try to find mine too.
Is it this one?
Yeah, that one. And then the blue one, the blue one too.
Yeah. That one is sick. I always use that one. And like when I'm playing Hutt or like NHL, I always use that jersey when I play as the Rangers.
Wasn't it also like the blue ones with diagonal, but it's instead of saying Rangers, it said New York?
Yeah, that was a good one too.
Yeah.
That was like a couple years ago. Wasn't it?
Those are the 95th in or the 90th.
Not even, it didn't have the threads, Johnny. It was the one with just the V-neck. No threads.
Yeah. I also love the Winter Classic 2012. Yeah.
I mean, that one's incredible. So I was going to ask this at the end, but since we're talking about this, like, what do you guys want the Stadium Series jerseys to look like?
That's another one I haven't really thought about because the last Stadium Series were awful.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, like, I've been like kind of dreaming about the Rangers like releasing their Stadium Series merch, and I just hope they have like sick hats, sick shirt, like because their hats fucking blow. Like the hats that the NHL and MSG put out are just trash, except for when they just put out the Winter Classic ones a couple years ago were sick, and then also the Reverse Retro. I feel like they had really good merch. So
yeah, I was a fan.
These are
the
ones I was talking about, by the way.
Yeah, those are great. I think those would be awesome. I didn't really like the Reverse Retro at first. It kind of grew on me, but at the same time, I don't understand why they couldn't just do the old jerseys. Like there were so many good variations of older NHL jerseys that they could have done, but the old Liberty was perfect, man. Like I have a white Gretzky one in my basement. It's just a sick jersey.
Have the Navy Leech.
I would love for them to do, which the USA World Junior team did in that outdoor game in Buffalo, make it like a football jersey. If they had like the giant jersey, because they wouldn't go Jets, obviously, because the colors, but like to have like NY with like the numbers on the front.
Yeah. Or baseball. Nasty. I mean, like long sleeve baseball. Like that would stick to. No, I know. Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right. that would be sick, but they'll never do it, dude. They'll never do it.
I think that's possible.
Guts. They don't have the guts.
And we're playing the Islanders, right?
Yeah.
And
we have to go to that game. Like, we have to go.
Did you guys see also that Adidas like sneakily dropped sneakers for that game?
No.
What?
They dropped like a New York Rangers pair. They're actually kind of cool.
Really? I didn't see that.
Yeah, like exclusively on their app, they dropped a pair of Rangers and Islanders pairs of sneakers. Someone like posted on Twitter and everyone's like, where'd you find that? And they sent the link. If you like look it up, like Rangers Stadium Series Adidas sneaker, they're actually kind of cool.
I'll check
really?
It out.
Really? Mm-hmm. That is cool.
All right. Next one from Jackknife82. Prospect question. Scouts say Gabe Perreault's skating isn't strong. What's wrong with his skating? I could start this one if you guys want.
Go for it.
I
wouldn't say his skating is weak. He's just not very explosive. Like, there's no second gear with Gabe. Like, he doesn't really blow by defense him with his speed, but that's totally fine. And he has, like, you know, 2 years now to get bigger and stronger in college. But he's not, like, a slow skater. He's more of, like, a, you know, like a Panarin, right? Like, Panarin doesn't, you know, show his, like he doesn't have, like, a burst of speed. He doesn't have a burst of speed really ever, but like, you know, it's not like he's slow.
He's a very skilled player.
Yeah, and he's not the prettiest skater in the league because, you know, that's left for any air. But yeah, I mean, he has time, and you know, he still has, like you said, probably about 2 years before he sees the show. So it's not something that's very pressing right now. And I think more so, you know, these guys drafted a goal scorer, and that's what he is. And he has a beautiful shot, and
he's a great
playmaker than a goal. Yeah, more of a playmaker than a goal scorer, I would say.
But his shot is just so.
His shot is good.
I could see him. I could see him being a 25 goal scorer, like easy
rookie year
NHL. Like possibly. I think he's gonna be sick. I don't think he's obviously as much of a goal scoring threat as like a guy like Othman. But I think, you know, he still has a couple years to develop, and he's gonna get what Othman didn't, right? Like Othman didn't really get to come to Hartford until this year, possibly. So. Yeah. He's going to go right into the, you know, wherever.
I love that Othman just goes to the net, man. Yeah. I think that's going to be the difference between him and Perreault, is like Perreault's going to be like more outside Panarin type playmaker, whereas like Othman will just be like a Kreider and just go straight to the net.
Yeah.
Which next both one. Great.
What's up?
Which would both be great.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what you would want, balance, right? All right. Next one from Jay McCabe. 118. Gaze into the crystal ball. Is Laff a Ranger post trade deadline? Does Zach Jones get dealt?
Two good questions. I think we kind of touched on that a little bit. I said that I'm giving him until the trade deadline to kind of prove that. So I don't really have an answer for that. But if I'm looking into a crystal ball, I'd love to see Laff stay with the Rangers. I obviously still have an attachment to him. So I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say he's going to fight the noises here and do it. And man, it would really suck to lose Zach Jones, but I just don't think there's room for him right now.
Yeah,
and it's going to be tough to find room for him. They haven't really given him the opportunity. They've given him a couple chances, called up, whatever. But he's such a talented player. He's a little undersized, but his speed and his ability to move the puck is great. That's one guy I really wish would fit into the lineup, but it just doesn't right now.
The thing that sucks is like he's going to be a classic case of the overcrowd, like you said, and we've seen it many times in the past with the Rangers where they've done this. They've shipped out a guy and then he kind of flourishes elsewhere, like Pionk, and I know Lundqvist like hasn't really broken out yet, but he's still obviously
he had a solid year,
and then who do we trade like 5-6 years ago? Who I think he won the cup with the Avs.
Don't say that name, Johnny.
What's his
Ryan Graves?
Ryan Graves, yeah. And
was he on that Avs team?
I don't know.
The Devils. He just got traded from the Devils.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe
I'm pretty sure he won the cup.
I think he won the cup and then got moved, but maybe he left the year before. But like regardless, dude,
yeah.
He's a good defenseman now. And that's just a classic scenario of like no room, Rangers had to move him, and you know, is what it is. But I don't know. So
no, he
I think Laff is a – what'd you say?
He didn't win the Stanley Cup.
He didn't win.
Yeah, you're right.
I think Laff is a Ranger post-deadline. I do think Jones will get dealt. But I think Jones wants to stay here. So yeah. I don't really know how that's going to go down. And he also is the first call-up probably if anything happens. So I'm not going to say he'll get dealt like right away, but maybe by the deadline.
Yeah, I hope not.
Next, Jay McCabe again. Which vet players benefits the most from the new coaching staff, in your opinion?
Vet players.
I think Panarin, personally. I think Panarin, I think he is finally going to have that. I think he's really going to pass 100 this year, and I think he's going to flourish under a new coach. It's been a little weird for him with coaching these past two coaches, and I think he hasn't really like fully settled in, and I think – you know, Laviolette's going to be the right guy to push him in the right way and, you know, get him back to scoring goals, playmaking, like everything he knows and loves about the game, and, you know, just really have fun with it and have a great year. So,
yeah, I actually completely agree with Cody, because one of the big things we've struggled with Panarin throughout his career is that he's kind of had, he's had tough wingers. He hasn't really had the best line mates in terms of like playing ability. And we brought these guys in to really elevate the playing ability from the younger players. And, you know, Panarin's going to end up with some younger guys. So I agree with Cody. I think Panarin's going to see a jump. He's probably going to pass the 100 point barrier this year.
I'm going to go in a different direction and say Barclay Goodrow.
I like that.
I just think, you know, Laviolette kind of brings that grit factor as far as coaching goes. And I think Goodrow has had a pretty strong impact on the team so far in his first couple of years. But
good one.
I think there's still a little bit more room to improve, right? So, you know, I don't know if that's like more points, but I think Goodrow will just be way more effective under Laviolette.
He needs that. He needs that too, because he's the guy everybody looks at when we're talking about money struggles and we're talking about where the contract struggles are. Everybody first looks to Goodrow. So yeah. I wish the best for Barclay Goodrow. I think he's a great guy to have in the locker room. I genuinely think the guys love him in that locker room, and I really hope he has a big comeback year this year.
I was going to say, like, he to me is, you know, the guy, just like you said, everybody looks at him as a scapegoat. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if he's the guy they move in a deal to free up cap space and bring in somebody. Because right now, the way you look at it, like, let's face it, there's a very good chance Cooley and Othman both are not making this squad. So, you know, if they don't, I'm pretty sure they have like 600K of cap space. So the only way they're getting any more cap space to make a move, you know, if they're competing going into that deadline, which I would assume they are, but they're fighting against the Devils and the Canes and all these other teams that are just as good, arguably, they're going to need to do something. And I think the only way to do that is to free up money. Unless Othman's like tearing it up or Cooley's tearing it up and they're like, this is the missing piece. Mm-hmm. And he's the perfect guy who they're going to look and be like, all right, this guy's 3.6. Like, he's the perfect scapegoat. We can move him. We can bring in a decent, like, they can bring in a 30 goal scorer who's just a pure goal scorer, something like that. So I don't know. He's a guy really, really to watch this season, just like you said, because I think just as much for Lauf, like, it's kind of make or break for Barclay Goodrow this year.
Mm-hmm. All right, the next one, well said, Cody. The next one from Brandman 7694. We only have three left, so
okay.
Almost there. Who do you think will lead the Rangers in goals and assists? I think it's a no-brainer. I actually think Kreider finishes with more goals this year than Mika does, but I think assists is Foxy.
Yeah.
More than Panarin?
Him or Panarin.
Yeah, I would say Foxy is more than Panarin this year. Just because power play, though. Foxy's, you know, he racks up points in the power play. Like,
yeah. Okay. It'll be one, him or Panarin.
And those two are right there. Like, last year, Panarin at 63, Foxy at 60.
Yeah.
What do you guys think?
I'm with you on that. I agree.
I think Mika is going to lead the team in goals. Mm-hmm. I think him and Kreider will both hit over 40. Yeah. I think him and Kreider are both going to hit over 40. I think Mika will beat him out by, you know, two or three goals. And assists, I'm probably going to go, yeah, I mean, Panarin or Fox are the two guys, yeah. But I'm going to go with Panarin. I'm telling you, I think he's going to have like a crazy year. I just feel it. Shaved his head, ready for new beginnings. He's ready to go.
All right. This next one's from M.Crank10, another loyal question asker. How good is Othman? Got to be in the running to make the team.
Yeah, he's fucking good. He's fucking really good.
He's a beast.
He's right
really,
there.
Really good player. Yeah, he's right there. And it's like we said earlier, it's a classic case of there's not space for him unless he's guaranteed minutes on the top nine, and they're not going to shove him on the fourth line and, you know, do that. So that's all I have
to One say. Guy we actually haven't talked about is Kako. And I'm very surprised that Kako hasn't gotten more looks with Kreider and Zibanejad in the preseason. I know maybe Laviolette wants to give Lafreniere that chance, but I thought Kako looked so confident in the preseason game he played against the Islanders. And I'm surprised he hasn't really been rewarded yet in the preseason. Maybe that's something that happens down the road, but I thought Kako looked great so far in the preseason. And I'm surprised right now he's kind of in like that second, third line role.
Yeah. I think that's like when sometimes the best things are unsaid. Like when you're not talking about a guy, it's probably a good thing. And I think Kako's really taken that next step. He's such an elite playmaker in the offensive zone. His puck ability is insane. I think if he just shoots a little bit more, he's going to put more pucks in the back of the net. But he is so good with, like, I actually think he is nearly untouchable if he gets the puck in the corner. Like, it's very, like, the puck's on a string with him. And his size and his skating ability has only gotten better. I agree. I think he should probably be on the first line. I think he's been great there. And if anybody's really going to give Lafreniere the best chances in terms of, like, passing, it's going to be Panarin. So,
yeah,
I'd give Kako that first line spot and hope that Lafreniere just puts more pucks on the net, because we know he has the shot. He just hasn't really done it.
Yeah, no, super, like, very, very well said. And the Rangers, I mean, what'd you say?
I was giving snaps.
You know, I think it's really abundantly clear, like, the one thing this team needs is more goal scorers. They have enough guys who make plays, and Kako's that next guy in line that everybody looks at to potentially be a 30 goal scorer. You know, and I think the best way to do that is putting him on that top line with two really good vets, you know, to elevate his game. And I mean, that's what I think they should do.
Yeah. And then the last one, it's not even a question, but Sammy Hockey 36, another loyal one. The discussion on bagels from last pod, the best bagel is Montreal bagels. That's a fact. I've actually heard Montreal bagels are fucking amazing.
Is that in New York?
No, it's like literally Montreal, like the city in Canada.
Oh, like he's just talking about Montreal.
Like bagels in Montreal. Yeah, apparently they're amazing.
That's the weirdest thing I've ever heard. Yeah. And better than New Jersey and New York. I don't know about that.
Utopia bagel in Queens, the best.
Yo, Avery, you're from my county, right? You're from Bergen.
Yeah.
Dude, have you had Modern Bagel in Fairlawn? It's incredible.
Very good.
It's incredible.
Very, very good. Yeah. Utopia Bagel in Queens, though, is the best I've ever had. It's one of those ones that just comes out of the oven, and it's like you don't even have to toast it. Like it's hard on the outside, soft on the inside. It was actually life changing for a guy who's been in Jersey and who's had good bagels his entire life. Yeah. It was really good.
All right, fellas. Well, thanks for all the questions, everybody that sent them in. We'll be back next week. Two more preseason games left this week.
Really?
Yeah, that's it.
Oh my! No, not like really. Like, I was just surprised there were more games. I always thought the preseason was like shorter. No,
speaking of the preseason, do you know why they're only having like the Rangers play three teams the whole preseason? Like, do they always do that?
They keep it local. Yeah,
it's like a travel. Yeah. I feel like they used to play like Boston, though.
They did play Boston already, and they're playing them again.
Yeah. See, that just shows you how much buy-in I have on preseason.
It's just Devils, Isles, and Boston. That's their three teams. But I'm surprised, like no Flyers, no Buff. Like,
So next week will be our last like one episode a week, and then once the season starts, we'll get into two. And I know Cody's due any day to be a father, so. This might be the last time you guys hear from him for a couple weeks.
And this is my last episode from New Jersey.
Yeah. A lot of changes being made here on the Blue Crew. But yep. Cody, you want to send it off?
LFGR, baby.